Welcome to We The Podcast, the show about how the people outside of the billionaire and millionaire class, you know, most of us, engage the economy. So this is Keith Ellison with another edition of We The Podcast. And today, you know, we're talking about credit scores, credit access, and your ability to participate in this economy. I have a piece of legislation called the Credit Access and Inclusion Act. And this is a very simple piece of legislation that basically says that your on-time utility bills, your cell phone bills, and all these things that you pay on time every month, month after month, will be included in the tabulation of your credit score. Right now, your loan information is recorded and your late bills are recorded, but your on-time rent payments and your on-time utility payments and your on-time telecom payments are not necessarily included. The Credit Access and Inclusion Act helps make sure that you as a consumer are getting credit for the payments that you make. You know, I'm really lucky today to have somebody in the office named Janine Atkins. And Janine, tell me, what is your experience with dealing with credit, like throughout your life?
Well, my experience started in college, like most of us do. Mom co-signed for a credit card for me, and I just knew that that was the life. I finally had credit. So that's what credit was for me, a credit card. Didn't mean a score. It didn't mean something that would impact me for the rest of my life. At that point, again, it was just a credit card. I would buy my books. I would swipe for Skittles when I get hungry on campus and things of that sort. And again, I thought that was the life. But unfortunately, when it was time to grow up, I had student loans. It was time to graduate, and it was time to pay those bills. Unfortunately, jobs didn't come as readily as I thought they would with my new degree, and life started happening because I have a family as well. And in doing that, I became anxious. I became nervous because now I couldn't pay my bills, and now my credit score was going in a direction that I didn't want it to go in.
And that's like down.
Exactly. And it seemed like there was nothing that I could do about it at that point. So again, I ignored it. I left it alone. I started living day by day. I started striving and struggling and just doing what it is that I could do to make sure that I was could stay above water. Well, after about 15, 20 years of having the same vehicle, she died on me. And I had to really think about what it is that I needed to do in order to get financing. I knew that I couldn't throw $10,000 down and say, hey, give me a new car. So what I had to do was I actually had to apply. It wasn't, at this point, it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. It wasn't a want, it was a need. I needed a vehicle. I needed to get my children to school. I needed to get to school myself. I needed to get to work. There's things that I needed to do. I applied for credit with a longstanding institution that I had been at for probably about 10 years as well, a bank, and I was denied. I was devastated. I was hurt again, and my self-esteem was just in the tubes again, basically.
You know, Jeannie, if I could interrupt you there, yes. You talk about self-esteem. One of the really tough parts about dealing with your financial well-being is the emotional side of it.
Absolutely.
We all feel like we should know more, and that if we don't make the right decision, we feel bad. And so often, you know, it's just you against a pretty major institution that has all this information that you don't have. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to people who are just sort of emotionally torn up about their financial circumstances? How did you get through it?
Well, what I would say is, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier today in a conversation, sometimes I wonder if I should introduce myself as Janine as my name, or should I be shaking someone's hand saying my credit score? Because that is really, first of all, how important it was to me and how that really fostered or that really kind of downed my self-esteem because my score wasn't as high as it actually was. So I would say is that score is not you, and that score is improvable. There is something that you can do about it. There are people that are willing to help you, not for a fee necessarily. There are people who are willing to help you who understand what you're going through, and it is definitely possible to raise that credit score to be by your side, not labeling you. It's not you. It's something that can assist you to get to where you need to get to.
Well, Janine, we want to hear more about that great story in just a minute, but I'd like to bring into the conversation Michael Turner, who is an expert on credit scores. and who has helped us pull together the Credit Access and Inclusion Act. He's been a tireless advocate on Capitol Hill, proving that you don't have to be a member of Congress to make a difference on Capitol Hill. Michael Turner, give me your take on Janine's situation. Is she a typical American in this way?
I'm just blessed that Janine came. She had surgery a week ago, and despite that, this message, her story, was so important, and she felt it was so important to share with members of Congress and congressional staffers. Her situation is very typical, that she first comes to credit through a credit card in college, and it's a play money. It's not real. And then she's hit in the face. Student loan debt, credit card debt, tight job market, and this, you know, a credit report that now you understand impacts every facet of your life financially, but also now with employment, insurance, tenant screening. It's become increasingly important, and she's very typical in that there's a lot of apprehension and fear and anxiety. It's tied up psychologically. People feel depressed about credit. And there are a lot of misunderstandings and apprehensions about it. So absolutely.
If I may just say so, a lot of folks might think that the only downside of having a, you know, lower credit score would be that you wouldn't be eligible for a loan. You might get denied for a loan. But it's a little bit heavier than that. Am I right about that, Michael?
Much, much heavier. Again, you know, there are jobs now that say you have a threshold credit score. If you don't have this score, you can't even apply. They won't even consider you. And that's done without advertising, but landlords do it. Insurance companies, property casualty insurance now have credit score implications. So you would pay a higher premium. The same now with mobile phones. Everyone has a mobile phone. Utilities, they pull your credit report, and if you don't have enough score, they'll require a security deposit, and maybe even a large one, or you won't be eligible for certain plans. You may not be eligible for international. So there are lots of implications people don't even know about.
Well, so Janine, you got into this sort of a tough spot with your credit score, and yet you're here today to talk about how you began to climb out of it, and how, you know, things are looking a little bit brighter because of this idea of the full file, meaning that they're now going to consider your on-time payments, and that being factored into your credit score allowed your credit score to be higher without any sacrifice of accuracy. In fact, it's more accurate. Can you tell us the story behind that?
Sure. Was basically looking for the opportunity to, as you mentioned, to get that score up and to make my report as accurate as possible to be viable in society, to be really honest with you, to be viable. And in doing that, I would reach out to a nonprofit in my neighborhood, and they assisted me with all the questions that I had. They actually provided resources to me for me to have one-on-ones to improve my credit and speak to someone about the terms and the technical terms and what it is that I may and need to do in order to actually get where it is that I needed to go. And in doing that, the outcome was great for me. And I don't necessarily know that it was a typical outcome for most people, but I was actually able to raise my credit score almost 150 points, which put me in another tier to be able to purchase my own home, not only the car that I mentioned earlier, but purchase my own home and actually to get a better job. So I'm looking at so much more than just my credit score now. The credit score means to me a better life, a better way for my family, and to be honest with you, a better future for all of us.
So having all of your on-time payments included allowed you to get a better credit score, which allowed you to get a better job and get a home and a car that you needed.
Absolutely.
And yes. What kind of difference does that make to your family? Do you have children?
I do have children. I'm actually a mother of six and a grandmother as well, and with one on the way. I had to shout them out, of course. But yes, I have a large family, and when I say future, I really do mean future. Now I have something to hand down to my children, even and not just the physical, the home that they will be able to live with once I'm gone or what have you, but the fact that this education that I have received is something that I can teach them and they can teach their children. And it's something that we can continue on as a legacy, really, for our family and, again, for the future.
So, Michael Turner, could you just talk a little bit about what answers might be out there for a person like Janine and her family? I mean, what if we were to pass the Credit Access and Inclusion Act? What would that mean?
This is a sea change difference. The fact is that right now, Janine had to take all the initiative. Janine had to go to a nonprofit. Janine had to invest a lot of time and effort in dealing with the credit bureaus, with creditors and lenders. If we had your legislation passed, if we had utility companies, gas, water, electric, mobile phone, landline, broadband, cable, rent, all into a credit report as it should be, because that late payment date is in there and that's bringing scores down and following people around for 7 years. If they had this, whatever happens, if you lose your job, divorce, unexpected medical expenses, you're able to repair and rebuild your credit more easily because those are the first things you pay. And if any late payments happen, you have a thicker file with more positive data to offset and mitigate. It makes that report much more accurate. You would think that the maximum possible accuracy requirement would compel bureaus to be more aggressive in pursuing this. This could make a difference. In our own analysis, there are 54 million credit invisibles in this country.
And did you say 54 million?
54 million credit invisibles. And we believe that 40% of those would qualify for some form of prime credit with this information in their credit file. That's a lot of people.
So 54 million people being able to get into a better job, being able to avoid paying a deductible to get a cell phone, 54 million people being able to get a lower rate of credit, perhaps even a lower premium on an insurance product. That would put a lot of money in the pockets of regular citizens, and it wouldn't cost the government a penny. Am I right?
Not a penny. And even more important, these are real credit needs. As Jim talked about, it's not a credit want, it's a credit need. And these needs are now being met by payday lenders, pawn shops, other predatory lenders. And when you start a relationship with a payday lender, you're 25% more likely to experience duress, meaning that you can't pay for life's essentials like prescription medication or children's education. You're more likely to fall into bankruptcy or be significantly late. So it's not only, you know, making it more accurate and moving people up risk tiers and saving money, it's avoiding people falling into that downward spiral, that trap where they're suffering real, not only financial, but physical and emotional damage.
That's right. And so look, you know, I want to thank you all for coming in and talk about the Credit Access and Inclusion Act. Janine, you're a real life positive story, but according to Michael, there's about 54 million other folks like you. And we could really do a lot of good for working class Americans if we pass the Credit Access Inclusion Act. And let me just ask you the final question, Michael, and we'll give Janine the last word. But, you know, from the standpoint of, say, Fair Isaacs or some of the folks who calculate these scores, if we enacted the Credit Access and Inclusion Act, would that in any way mess up market forces or anything like that? Or would it give more information and therefore give a more accurate predictor of default?
Well, two things. One, if you have more data in there, it's just a matter of optimizing the model from the perspective of FICO or anyone who builds these scores. And they can do that. They do this all the time. The second thing is that you'd have more people entering the mainstream. There'd be a bigger demand for credit scores and therefore credit reports and credit scores. So it would actually help their business. So there's an economic, a direct economic benefit for them as well as.
Well, Janine, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about some of the things you're going to do with some of your newfound credit success.
Well, I just want to say, too, that I'm not necessarily out of the woods. One-time, one-stop-shop credit report improvement is not what this is about. I'm still working hard every day. again, trying to pay the bills that I have to pay that, again, aren't unfortunately included on my credit report, but hopefully with this initiative, it will be. So again, I'm not out of the woods at all whatsoever, but what I'm going to definitely do is enjoy being comfortable in my life and knowing that I have the opportunity to be a part of the community that I'm in. And I do have the power to encourage and engage other people to do the same thing that I'm doing for their comfort and for the improvement of their everyday lives as well. So
now, you know, do you think it'd be a good idea for citizens to reach out to the people who represent them and ask them how they feel about the Credit Access and Inclusion Act?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the number one thing that you should do, to be really honest with you. You have to reach out. You're not going to be able to get anything done, anything passed, know any information if you're sitting on your couch or standing on your block. Absolutely. Reach out to people, talk to someone, and get some information and get things done.
So, hey, this is Congressman Keith Ellison with another edition of We the Podcast. This is the podcast that focuses on how the folks outside of the billionaire and millionaire class make a living every single day. It's working class economics. That's what it's about. And I've been really, really honored to have Janine Atkins and Michael Turner come in and share their stories. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.